All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show. I've got Dead Penetration here.
What's that?
And we're going to be talking about quite a bit of articles because, you know, I'm pretty backlogged from that, so not much banter. Basically, there's not a whole lot to report. You know, got to talk about our sponsor, SpinningRobotPussy.com. If you don't have one, go ahead and pick one up. I thought he was going to give me one to test out, because I was actually kind of ready for one. You know, I was having some issues, and now I'm good.
Our sponsor. So
I was going to try one out, kind of give you guys maybe a demonstration, like how the thing works and what it does.
Not
and all
a live
that.
Demonstration.
But not a live demonstration, of course, but just tell you, you know, what the thing does. And
I
you know
missed
what,
that show.
Yeah. And basically, yeah, that we're going to... Well, you know, we want to talk about that. And he also has the Follow Me Eyes, which, again, you can use if you want a doll's eyes that follow you, or you have a painting and you want to do, like, the Ghostbusters thing where the eyes follow the person.
I'm curious how much those run about.
I'm not real sure, but you can find out at SpinningRobotPussy.com/TFM, and you can actually go in there and put in the Grim Lord to let him know that I sent you there. So check that out. We're also promoting Zoom platform because Zoom is all about no fucking censorship. So I'm going to continue to promote them. And of course, they've been talking a lot about the Duke Nukem 2001 leak that's come out. Very, very interesting stuff there. A lot of people are working on bringing it back and making a new Duke with that engine, which is phenomenal. They're making the real Duke Nukem Forever now. So, it's pretty cool to see. Oh, yeah, they are really focused on it. I actually read what the team's, what the whole team's goal is, and it's a lot. It's a lot of work, but, they're going to do it because they believe in Duke. And, so, yeah, go check them out. Buy your Duke games. Remember, the best version of Duke Nukem 3D Atomic that you can buy is on the Zoom platform. And they're trying to get Duke Zero Hour in there. Just, you know, be patient. Adam right now is working on basically changing the launcher. So there's a lot of things they're doing. But also the Duke Manhattan Project game now has a level editor. So you can edit some things. So that's pretty cool. Definitely check them out. Maybe not as much titles as GOG. But they got House Party. Oh. And yeah. And... it was Jordan's birthday, and he said, I really like the House Party game, which makes us want to really go back and play it, because he found it interesting.
I think we
then
just
maybe
got
there's.
Started.
Yeah,
that's
I think we just really got started, and we should just go back into it.
Yep.
But he liked it so much, he wanted to give the game a special discount on his birthday. So that discount might not be going anymore, but hey, they really are open about having adult games on there, and. It just, no censorship. He said, I don't believe in censorship at all. That's one of the coolest dudes I've ever met as far as, you know, and as far as business, as far as businesses, you know, because you know how gaming businesses are. He's like, oh, cool, I don't believe in censorship. We'll have it.
You know,
like,
it used
all right.
to be about what the consumer wanted.
Yeah.
Now it's like, whatever I want.
Yeah, that's the, man, that's
that makes
so
no
bad.
Sense.
Yeah, it's so bad. But there were some interesting things. I watched those DC shorts, some pretty good non-woke shit, finally, from DC. The Losers one is recommended. You'll probably find it online somewhere. And the Blue Beetle one is funny as shit, but it's got that facts don't care about your feelings line in it, which is pretty good. Glad to hear stuff like that from DC.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to go back to the... Just having telling stories, and even the Constantine one is good. I mean, they show Zatanna in lingerie on a bed, and she turns into a succubus and eats him. I mean, come on, it's great, it's great. And by the way, the whole team behind that is like dudes. It's all dudes. So I was like, of course this is gonna be good. They let comic dudes get together.
Not white,
and they,
not dudes, just dudes.
Just dudes.
Yeah, not.
Oh yeah, older dudes that like this shit.
Not dudes that care about gender pronouns.
No, they don't care about that
real
bullshit.
Dude.
Just regular old, yeah. And we'll have what we got to talk about that too. Other than that, not a whole lot else to promote. I guess I can promote Steven's restoring that vehicle. You know, he's still trying to restore that thing. He's doing a GoFundMe to go ahead and see if he can restore that car. So if you're interested in that, you know, hit that up. Go on the MGTOWN podcast. I think they have some links to that.
Car?
No. The MGTOWN podcast, you know, obviously. You know, yeah. But yeah, the guy that I've done some interviews with, he's fixing up a car. And it's a good thing, man. It's a good hobby. Not everybody has that kind of know-how. And he's doing it. So I got more power to him, man. Awesome. Get it running. Make it look good. Anyway, let's go ahead and just go on and get started. So, our first article. Oh, man. We actually had another one, but when this happened, this was absolute fucking shit. Like, I don't know. And by the way, folks, I'm sorry about last week's show. It was a mess. I don't know what the hell was going on in my area, but my internet connection was absolute dog shit. And I mean my mobile connection, which is weird. And I guess they fixed it because everything's working again. So now we can go ahead and do these without any fear of losing the whole damn internet. So let's go. Oh, one more thing. If you're going to buy that humble bundle of Heavy Metal comics, which I know Heavy Metal Comics magazine, and I do recommend it because we did watch this. We saw this one panel where basically a monster attacked these two girls while they were masturbating. And the one girl gushed all over the monster and actually fucking killed it because she was getting off while the monster was attacking her. And they actually showed it, like the literal fucking juice just coming up like a waterfall attacking the monster. And I'm like, wow, this is pretty fucking great. I didn't think I'd ever see anything as fucked up and crazy as this in heavy metal. Because heavy metal was always about alluding to sexuality. They never... It's weird to see actual full-on fucking...
Finally, a comic that's willing to take on real issues.
Yeah. Yes. Like, now the monster left her alone. You know, I mean, she attacked... A dildo actually flew out and attacked... It flew out into the monster's head. And then the other girl
stabbed him.
But anyway, if you want these issues, it's not that expensive. I think it's $25. But you got to understand, like, a subscription to them things, high as shit. Very, very expensive. So, oh yeah, that's Simon Belmont. That's the zombie of Simon Belmont. Yeah. Yeah, either Simon or Trevor, I'm not sure. One of those. But anyway...
Trevor, you're a zombie!
But anyway... Well, Trevor was the hero of Castlevania 3.
I mean, but just anyway, a like I was named in, Trevor.
Oh, yeah.
It could go either way. But a zombie named Trevor?
He's more of a revenant. But anyway, you know, what I was saying is, if you want it, keep in mind, this is very, very important. Okay, long time ago, I managed to get a lot of old heavy metal magazine comics. Now, these are, of course, from the ye olde, you know, I guess we could say the Pirate Bay. And basically, these were scans, all right? So I had the 1977 issue and a bunch of other old issues. Classic stuff. Hard to get because it's not around anymore. Well, when I bought that bundle, it came with four classic issues. And you know what I discovered? Well, I looked at the first issue that I bought, and guess what? It had crease marks on it. And I'm like, oh my God, this isn't a digital reproduction. This is an actual scan. So what I did is I went back into my old file. I looked at the same issue from 1977, the one that I downloaded off that torrent. And guess what? It's the same scan that the pirate made. the same scan that the pirates made for digital preservation. Yeah. Basically, Heavy Metal bought the rights to the scans, or just uploaded all the scans that the pirates made, and now they're selling them on their website. I don't know, I know there's probably some people that's like, well, that sucks, you know, if I was going to get it, I would have just pirated it myself. But yeah, that's what you got. And all the other old issues that they sell now are just the stuff that's been pirated from years ago. So all the stuff from the 70s is just pirated stuff. So it's really bizarre. It's like, damn, I just paid for a pirate, for something that somebody pirated.
Yeah.
And, oh my God. And, you know, it used to be, super illegal to do that. But now, since the company that publishes this shit actually owns it, it's not illegal anymore. Because they own the original rights to the product.
Yeah.
And so it's so bizarre, because we know it's a pirated product. But anyway, yeah, if you guys are going to buy that, just know that you are buying some pirated scans. There's new issues. I mean, they actually have every issue from 2021 and some for 2022. So yep. If you wanted to read new Heavy Metal, you get to do that for a lot cheaper.
Digital.
Yeah. No, they are. Those are brand. Yeah, those are full digital rip. Those aren't even rips. Those are just the digital version issues. That's all they are. They're official. I mean, well, the other one is official now. It's like we slapped our seal on it. So now it's ours and not the pirates anymore. That's all they did. They took all the pirate stuff out of the file and just said, we're going to sell it on our store because it's our work anyway. So, yeah, it's a little shitty, but hey, I mean, I got the bundle. It was okay. And if you like Transformers, they have a bundle for that too today. It's a lot of comics on Humble. But let's go ahead and get started.
We could talk about Transformers in the trans community. They're robots in disguise.
I haven't seen anything like that yet in the Transformers.
They're in disguise from what their gender is.
Okay, so Wisconsin middle schoolers accused of... Hold on, let me get this right. Remember, me and DP have both had very little sleep. Wisconsin middle schoolers accused of sexual harassment for using wrong gender pronouns. Lawyer argues use of incorrect gender pronouns does not violate Title IX.
Yeah, I'm tired of these cock gobblers.
Title 9, right? Okay, I said IX, but it's 9. Three Wisconsin boys are facing sexual harassment charges from their middle school over accusations that they use incorrect gender pronouns on a fellow student. I received a phone call from the principal over at the elementary school for warning me, letting me know that I was going to be receiving an email with sexual harassment allegations against my son. Rosemary Rabideau, a parent of one of the accused, told Fox 11 News last week. I immediately went into shock. I'm thinking, sexual harassment? That's rape. That's inappropriate touching. That's incest. Wow, she went really far. Rabideau continued, what has my son done? But none of the concerns Rabideau had were an issue. Instead, her 13-year-old son, Brayden, was accused of using incorrect pronouns to address another student at Kiel Middle School.
At that point...
Hold on. They're trying to sell me something.
I'd take it to court and sue the school for...
Mm-hmm.
Any lesson plans it has in the future.
Hold on. They were trying to sell me something. Yeah, I hate sometimes doing these articles because they'll have ads.
Make your penis 5 inches longer.
Not on Fox News.
Huh. You're not a patriot without a long pecker. That's why you need to buy our pills. They're organically made.
Okay. The investigating principal said he's being allegedly charged with sexual harassment for not... using the proper pronouns, Rabideau said. I thought it wasn't real. I thought this has got to be a gag, a joke. One has nothing to do with the other. Now her son and two other boys are being charged with school officials with title... What? IV? 6? No, 4. Title 4. No, that's VI. So it is 6. No, VI is 6. Goddamn fucking... Roman numerals. Title 4 violations, which prohibits gender-based harassment. The incident in question reportedly took place in March when a student announced a preference of they and them to identify them.
Yeah. Never got in trouble doing that in high school. I think ours was the suck it symbol from NW.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that'd get you sent to the office. High school.
But Rabideau said her son was merely sticking up for one of his friends. She had been screaming at one of Braden's friends to use proper pronouns, calling him profanity, and this friend is very soft-spoken and kind of just sunk down into his chair, Rabideau said. Braden finally came up defending him, saying, he doesn't have to use proper pronouns. It's his constitutional right to not use. You can't make him say things. The mother told ABC 2 News that the new pronoun preference had also caused confusion for her son, with her instructing him to just address the student by their name instead. It's plural. It doesn't make sense to him, I said. So I told him to call them by their names, Rabideau said. Now the parents are calling on the charges to be dismissed through an attorney with the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. It's not sexual harassment under Title IX, under their own policy, under federal law, and it's probably a First Amendment violation. Almost certainly, if that's their theory, that solely using the wrong pronoun, that would be a First Amendment violation, said Luke Berg, the attorney representing the boys. Brad Ebert, the school's district superintendent, told ABC 2 that they do not comment on student matters. The KASD prohibits all forms of bullying and harassment in accordance with all laws, including Title IX, and will continue to support all students regardless of race, color, religion, national origin, ancestry, creed, pregnancy, marital status, parental status, sexual orientation, sex, including transgender status, change of sex or gender identity, or physical, mental, emotional, or learning disability protected classes, and any of its student programs and activities. This is consistent with school board policy. We do not comment on any student matters, Ebert said. Ebert did not immediately respond to a Fox News request for comment. So there you go.
Makes you sick.
Man, they really discriminate against a lot of fucking shit now.
By they, people without common sense.
The school board.
Well, they have no common sense.
The school board.
Yep. These are the people you're leaving your kids in the hands of.
Okay, what do we got? Alright, we've got a lot here. Oh my god, we've got so much. Okay. Okay. This is probably not an article you wanted to talk about, but it was the next one on the list. Interesting engineering. Virtual reality kissing is finally here, and it features real-time haptics. You don't even have to cover your mouth. Virtual reality has come a long way in recent years, creating unreal environments and unprecedented tactile experiences. However, researchers have struggled to recreate an adequate simulation of our most precious senses of touch, like kissing, until now. Carnegie Mellon University's Future Interfaces Group has tweaked an off-the-shelf virtual reality headset to recreate the sense of touch on a wearer's face, specifically a kiss on the mouth, without adding any parts that actually cover that area. According to a video released by that group last Wednesday, they achieved this by using ultrasonic transducers. In this research, we've got a thin, compact, beam-forming array of ultrasonic transducers, which could be integrated into future headsets in a practical and consumer-friendly way, wrote the researchers on their website about the way they made the magic happen. We use this hardware to focus airborne acoustic energy onto the lips and into the mouth, creating sensations such as taps and continuous vibrations, which we can also animate along arbitrary 3D paths, the research has continued. In addition to the lips, our effects can be felt on the teeth and tongue. When coupled with coordinated graphical feedback, the effects are convincing, boosting realism and immersion. Although the most obvious application of such a device is kissing, the group notes that they built a variety of sensory demos, including raindrops and mud splatter, pushing through cobwebs and crawling bugs. Basically, it seems they have created simulations for nearly any sensation you can feel on your face. This is nothing short of impressive, and the group notes that it's a first-of-its-kind application. While in-air haptics using ultrasonic phased arrays is not new, We are the first to integrate the technology into a headset for use on the mouth and explore the rich application space, the researchers added on the website release. The development is exciting, but it could be further engineered to offer full-body virtual reality sensations. That's an incredible proposition, we know. Not to mention how cumbersome body-spanning VR devices might need to be with today's technology. Regardless, it would be terribly misguided to simply dismiss VR sensation technology, since the coming decades will probably see vast swaths of the human population jacking in to VR devices, simply out of a need to experience things that life would not otherwise afford them. From a singular trip to the moon and Mars, to the infinite complexity of our long and ancient history, the possibilities are truly limitless. Which means people will be able to make out with their waifus and their partners. Hell, if you've got somebody that's across the world and you want to make out with them, you can use that to... Yeah, it's interesting. And they're trying to sell me some pine bark. Yep. Okay. This was May 6th, but we're going to go over it anyway. Revealed. Elon Musk plans to fire 1,000 Twitter staff. Quintuple revenue gets 69 million users paying $3 a month. And cut reliance on advertising income. Presentation on investor shows. So, basically, if you haven't seen it yet, it was basically revealed that Twitter... It operates like socialists. They consider themselves super left commies, I mean, in their own words. And basically, there were people that were trying to revolt against Elon buying Twitter. This comes from somebody that actually works with them, an engineer. And also, it was said that they have a really weird work environment where if you don't feel good, if you're mentally ill, you can take off a week? A month? The engineer said he only worked 4 hours in one quarter. Keep in mind, that's a quarter. That's a full period. That's not a month, a week. That's like several months. That means the guy worked 4 hours in a few months. They still hired him. He's still on the payroll. I don't know if he just gets paid for the heck of it. They actually also said that they don't care how much money they spend. They're not like a capitalist company. They just don't care. The Twitter staff basically lets them make their own rules and do whatever they want. That's what he said. They get to do whatever they want. So that's... And they also said that they didn't want people that were on the right to have any... kind of freedom at all, because they said that Twitter does not believe in free speech. It never has been about free speech. It's always been biased. And now that Elon is buying it and people from the right are coming back. People from the center are coming back. You know, people that didn't want anything to do with the website are coming back. And I noticed that a lot of the porn is gone. There used to be so much porn on Twitter, it was ridiculous, but I see a lot of it going away. I think it is probably trying to migrate back to Tumblr. I think they're probably going to try to strike a deal with Tumblr to bring the porn back. And if it does happen, then we'll have a much different Twitter. I'm noticing that a lot of my stuff on Twitter now is more political-centered. I mean, there's still some waifu art and, you know, different... women or whatever, and different, what I follow, stuff like that. But it's not near like it was, where you would see OnlyFans thoughts all over the damn place promoting shit. You don't see full-on sex and crazy sex video. You don't see that stuff on there that much. It seems like a lot of that has died. And that's a good thing. Twitter really wasn't necessarily a place for porn. Like, I mean, it's okay to have that stuff, but... You know, it was like, dude, this was turning into Pornhub. It was so bizarre. It's like I was getting political stuff and, like, horny stuff at the same time. It just makes you angry and horny at the same time. It's like, what the fuck? It's like, here's some bullshit that the left did, and then here's some porn. It's like, what the fuck's going on? So, yeah. But Elon Musk is planning to fire 1,000 staffers at Twitter as soon as his purchase of the social media platform is complete. It's believed to have fired many of the firm's woke staff following the transfer of ownership, which will take around 6 months, after which Musk is likely to wield the axe. But then, within the next 3 years, Musk anticipates making thousands of new hires, swelling the ranks to around 11,000 employees, up from 7,500 currently. Wow. Much of the new talent is likely to be in the field of engineering. Numbers at the company would fluctuate, rising to 9,225 employees this year before falling to 8,332 in 2023, then adding a further 2,700 by 2025. Most of the jobs being shelved would occur during the takeover period, according to a pitch deck Musk presented this week to investors and seen by the New York Times. On a company level, Musk has previously floated the idea of closing down the San Fran headquarters in order to save money, and that board members... Whoops. Okay, I know how I did that. Hold on. Just kind of show me an ad. Okay, hold on. All right, it says... On a company level, Musk has previously floated the idea of closing down the San Fran... Damn. Can you settle down with all this bullshit? Man, I hate these sites. It's so hard to do a show. Okay. Okay, the San Francisco headquarters in order to save money, and that board members may also not receive a salary, shaving off another $3 million in expenses. The changes Musk makes are part of his plan to increase Twitter's annual revenue by 5 times current levels to $26.4 billion by 2028, up from $5 billion last year. Advertising on the platform is set to fall to 45% of total revenue under Musk, down from about 90% in 2020. By 2028, he plans for ads to generate $12 billion in revenue in 2028, while subscriptions are expected to pull in another $10 billion, according to the report. Musk is said to favor a subscription-based model over advertiser funding, as it would make Twitter less beholden to advertiser pressure. He has even suggested users could pay with crypto, and including joke currency Dogecoin, which Musk has long had an affection for. Other revenue would come from businesses such as data licensing. Musk has also tweeted about potentially monetizing tweets, although he has not provided specific details. Musk also plans to see Twitter's cash flow rise to $3.2 billion in 2025 and $9.4 billion in 2028. Wow. Twitter's cash flow will be increased by taking on $13 billion of debt as part of Musk's buyout of the company. However, he plans to pay down the debt and increase the company's cash flow. Wow. Last month, Musk started a poll on his Twitter account, which has more than 81 million followers, asking whether the firm's San Fran headquarters should be converted to a homeless shelter as no one shows up to work there. Wow! That coincides exactly with what the engineer said. The poll got more than 300,000 votes in an hour, with 90% answering yes. It comes weeks after Twitter brass, who offered staffers the option of working from home forever during the pandemic, reopened its offices March 15th, with remote work remaining an option for staffers. Musk clinched a deal in April to buy Twitter for $44 billion in cash, and a move that will shift control of the social media platform populated by millions of users and global leaders to the Tesla chief. The billionaire has promised to revitalize the company and expand the number of users by cracking down on spam bots and reducing the amount of moderation to facilitate more free speech. After the closure of the deal, Musk is expected to become Twitter's temporary CEO, it was revealed on Thursday. Among his other goals, he expects the social media company to bring in $15 million from a payments business in 2023 that will grow to about $1.3 billion by 2028. As one of the founders of PayPal, Musk is familiar with the world of digital payments. Twitter's payment business today, which includes tipping and shopping, is negligible. It is believed Musk may also want to introduce payment abilities to Twitter. Musk anticipates that he can increase Twitter's average revenue per user to $30.22 in 2028 from $24.83 last year, it added. Revenue from Twitter Blue, the company's premium subscription service launched last year, is expected to have 69 million users by 2025. Users currently pay $3 a month to customize their experience on the app. Musk hopes that plans to boost Twitter's user numbers will see more taking out subscriptions to Twitter Blue. Musk in a now-deleted tweet last month suggested a raft of changes to the social media giant's Twitter Blue's premium subscription service, including slashing its price. Other mooted changes include blue verification checkmarks for anyone who subscribes to Twitter's premium service, which costs $2.99 a month. Twitter Blue, launched in June 2021, is said to offer exclusive access to premium features on a monthly subscription basis, Twitter says. It is available in the U.S., Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. Price should probably be $2 a month, but paid 12 months up front. Account doesn't get checkmarked for 12 days. Wait for credit card chargeback. Suspended with no refund if used for spam. Musk said in a tweet from last month. And no ads, Musk suggested. The power of corporations to dictate policy is greatly enhanced if Twitter depends on advertising money to survive. Musk also proposed an option to pay with Dogecoin and asked Twitter users for their views. On Thursday, Musk listed a group of high-profile investors who are ready to provide funding of $7.14 billion for his Twitter bid, including Oracle co-founder Larry Ellison and Sequoia Capital. Musk has increased his financing commitment to $27.25 billion, which includes commitments from 19 investors and a reduced margin loan from Morgan Stanley tied to his Tesla stock to $6.25 billion. Musk, the world's richest man, is worth $255 billion, but much of the money is tied up in Tesla stock. He is believed to have only $3 billion in cash, Bloomberg reported last month. He has already secured commitments for $13 billion in loans against Twitter shares. Last week, Musk disclosed he sold $8.5 billion worth of Tesla stock following his agreement to buy the platform. Musk has also pledged some of his Tesla shares to banks to help arrange a $12.5 billion margin loan to help fund the deal. Yep. Musk has vowed to let everyone say whatever they want on Twitter after his takeover of the giant. He is said to favor temporary timeouts for users who break the new rules rather than permanent bans such as those given to Donald Trump. Musk has also teased at other new features, including an edit button to adjust previously posted tweets and also making the platform's algorithms open source to increase trust, defeating the spam bots and authenticating all humans. That would enable people to see exactly why Twitter had chosen to make some tweets more visible to others than others. Wow! A top priority for Musk is to eliminate bots, which frequently generate spam and run scams. On Monday at the Met Gala, his first public appearance since the deal was agreed, he was asked about his plans for Twitter. My goal, assuming everything gets done, is to make Twitter as inclusive as possible and to have a broad swath of people on Twitter as possible, he said, and that it is entertaining and funny and that they have as much fun as possible. Twitter shares ended trading down 1.11% at $49.79 in New York on Friday. Musk would have to pay $1 billion termination fee to Twitter if he walked away, and the social media company could also sue him to complete the deal. Last month, he spoke during an interview at a TED conference where he outlined how he might change the company, which has more than 200 million users around the globe. He reiterated his push to relax Twitter's policy on the moderating of content. Twitter takes its content moderation seriously, arguing that it's good for business, but if Musk follows through, it could put the onus on users to combat bullying and misinformation on the platform. Free speech is the bedrock of a functioning democracy, and Twitter is the digital town square where matters vital to the future of humanity are debated, Musk said in a news release announcing the deal. Musk has made it clear that he is not keen on the permanent banning of users and prefers timeouts instead. It is well known that an edit button would be widely welcomed. Yes, Musk polled Twitter users to see if they wanted one. It resulted in 4 million people responding with 70% voting in favor. Twitter said at the time that it had been working on such a feature since last year. It doesn't necessarily mean that the tweets would become shorter. On the contrary, Musk has told his desire for Twitter to allow long-form tweets. In most cases, tweets can contain up to 280 characters, which is double the previous limit of 140. Musk's feistiest priority, but also the one with the vaguest roadmap, is to make Twitter a politically neutral digital town square for the world's discourse that allows as much free speech as each country's laws allow. He's acknowledged that his plans to reshape Twitter could anger the political left and mostly please the right. He hasn't specified exactly what he'll do about former President Donald Trump's permanently banned account or other right-wing leaders whose tweets have run afoul of the company's restrictions against hate speech, violent threats, or harmful misinformation. However, he did say recently that he does feel that Trump was unfairly banned. So, this may change. Should Musk go this direction, it could mean bringing back not only Trump, but many, many others that were moved as a result of QAnon conspiracies, target harassment of journalists and activists, and of course all the accounts that were moved after January 6th of John Donovan, who studies misinformation at Harvard University. That could potentially be hundreds of thousands of people. Musk hasn't ruled out suspending some accounts, but says such bans should be temporary. His latest criticism is centered around what he described as Twitter's incredibly inappropriate 2020 blocking of a New York Post article on Hunter Biden, which the company has said was a mistake. Open source algorithms. Musk's longstanding interest in AI is reflected in one of the most specific proposals he outlined in his merger announcement, the promise of making the algorithms open source to increase trust. He's talking about the systems that rank content to decide what shows up on your feed. Partially driving the distrust, at least for Musk supporters, is lore among U.S. political conservatives about shadow banning on social media. This is a supposed invisible feature for reducing the reach of badly behaving users without disabling their accounts. There has been no evidence that Twitter's platform is biased against conservatives. But we do have evidence now. Studies have found the opposite when it comes to conservative media in particular. The studies are funded. Musk has called for posturing the underlying computer code powering Twitter's news feed for public inspection on the Coder Hangout GitHub. But such code-level transparency gives users little insight into how Twitter is working for them without the data the algorithms are processing, said Nick Diakopoulos, a Northwestern University computer scientist. Diakopoulos said there are good intentions on Musk's broader goal to help people find out why their tweets get promoted or demoted, and whether human moderators or automated systems are making those choices. But that's no easy task. Too much transparency about how individual tweets are ranked, for instance, can make it easier for disingenuous people to game the system and manipulate an algorithm to get maximum exposure for their cause, Diakopoulos said. Spam bots that mimic real people have been a personal nuisance to Musk, whose popularity on Twitter has inspired countless impersonator accounts that use his image and name, often to promote crypto scams that look as if they're coming from the Tesla CEO. Sure, Twitter users among them Musk don't want spam, said David Green, civil liberties director at the EFF, but who defines what counts as a spam bot? Do you mean all bots, like you know if I follow a Twitter bot that just pulls up historic photos of fruits? I choose to follow that. Is that not allowed to exist, he said. There's also plenty of spam-filled Twitter accounts that are at least partially run by real people and run the gamut from ones that hawk products to those promising polarizing political content to meddle in other countries' elections. Authenticate all humans. Musk has repeatedly said he wants Twitter to authenticate all humans, an ambiguous proposal that could be related to his desire to rid the website of spam accounts. Ramping up mundane identity checks such as two-factor authorization or pop-ups asks which of six photos show a school bus could discourage anyone from trying to amass an army of bogus accounts. Musk might also be considering offering more people a blue check, the verification check mark spotted on notable Twitter accounts like Musk, to show they are who they say they are. Musk has suggested that users could buy the check marks as part of the premium service. But some of the digital rights activists are concerned these measures could lead to a real name policy resembling Facebook's approach of forcing people to validate their full names and use them in their profiles. That would seem to contradict Musk's free speech focus by muzzling anonymous whistleblowers or people living under an authoritarian regimes where it can be dangerous if a dissonant message is attributed to a particular person. Ad-free Twitter? Musk has floated the idea of an ad-free Twitter, though it wasn't one of the priorities outlined in the official merger announcement. That may be because cutting off the company's chief way of making money would be a tall order, even for the world's richest person. Advertisements accounted for more than 92% of Twitter's revenue in January-March fiscal quarter. The company did last year launch a premium subscription service known as Twitter Blue, but doesn't appear to have made much headway in getting people to pay for it. Musk has made clear he favors a stronger subscription-based model for Twitter that gives more people an ad-free option. That would also fit into his push to relax Twitter's content restrictions, which brands largely favor because they don't want their ads surrounded by offensive and hate-filled tweets. So that's all that he wants to do with Twitter. It's a lot. And of course, DP fell asleep. He was up when the sun was up, okay? So I'm going to let him sleep while I do this. Okay, so we got another one here. This is kind of old, but we still need to talk about it. We have Fred Savage, 45, who starred in The Wonder Years as a child, is fired as executive producer of ABC's revival of the hit show after investigation into inappropriate conduct on his set. Let's make sure this isn't too long. It doesn't seem to be, but we don't know. I don't want this to go on as long as the Twitter article. All right. Fred Savage has been removed from his role as executive producer and director of ABC's revived The Wonder Years, according to The Hollywood Reporter. 45-year-old actress firing comes amid three separate allegations of inappropriate conduct which were investigated and led to his dismissal. Recently, we were made aware of allegations of inappropriate conduct by Savage, and as is policy, an investigation was launched, the producer of the Wonder Years 20th television said in a statement. They continued, upon its completion, the decision was made to terminate his employment as an executive producer and director of the Wonder Years. Savage was a child star, coming to fame at the age of 12 when the original Wonder Years debuted to 28 million viewers, and he was nominated for 2 Emmys for Best Lead Actor in a Comedy Series. Savage is married to commercial real estate agent Jennifer Lynn Stone. They have 3 children. 4 years ago, his former on-screen mother, Allie Mills, claimed the original Wonder Years cancellation followed a sexual harassment lawsuit filed against Savage and Jason Hervey, which she said was settled out of court. Monique Long, the woman who accused the then 16-year-old of sexual harassment, worked as a customer on the set. She accused both Savage and Hervey of verbally and physically harassing her, according to Deadline. In response to Mills' dismissal of her claim, she told the outlet via email, "My only response to Ms. Mills' slander is that it proves exactly why women in the industry are forced to remain silent about sexual harassment." During her interview with Yahoo, the show's matriarch described the allegations against Savage as completely ridiculous. She went to call Savage the least offensive, most wonderful, sweet human being that ever walked the face of the earth. "So I just thought it was a big joke and it was going to blow over," she added. While further details of his misconduct have not been confirmed, an insider told Deadline the allegations included verbal outbursts and inappropriate behavior. In 2019, Savage was accused by Yongju Hong, a crew member on his short-lived sitcom The Grinder, of battery, assault, harassment, and discrimination, and a complaint filed in 2018. The suit was settled outside of court and the case dismissed, adding, "We are very pleased with the resolution." TMZ reported that the case had been dismissed with prejudice and that a settlement had likely been reached. Wang worked in the wardrobe department on Fox's The Grinder, where Savage unironically played an attorney. Her original allegations stemmed from 2015 when she alleged that Savage subjected her to verbal attacks in front of colleagues. She additionally claimed that on one occasion, Fred violently struck her 3 times as she was brushing dandruff off her clothes. Wang was reportedly not alone in feeling victimized and stated in court documents that Savage abused female crew members by shouting at them to stop following him around and once screamed, "Don't fucking look at me." As for her personally, she alleged that Savage once told her, "It's so fucking annoying that I have to be nice to you when I fucking hate you." Since the time of the filing, Savage maintained his innocence, so the network backed him after an investigation. "I was made aware that a woman working in the costume department of a show I was on almost 3 years ago has claimed that I treated her harshly on set simply because she was a woman," he said in a statement at the time, adding, "These accusations are completely without merit and absolutely untrue. Fox conducted an extensive internal investigation into her claims, a process in which I fully participated. Fox agreed and released a subsequent statement claiming that their investigation found no evidence to support Wang's claims. We conducted a thorough investigation into these allegations and found no evidence of any wrongdoing on the part of Mr. Savage. We will vigorously defend against these unfounded claims," the network said. So it's bullshit! Like everything else, it's always bullshit. It's fucking ridiculous. We got one more here. From Blabbermouth, this is a metal, heavy metal and rock news site. This is important. Decapitated guitarist reflects on being falsely accused of rape. It was a really painful and traumatic process. In a new interview with Australia's Scars and Guitars podcast, guitarist Wakla Vog of Polish extreme metal veterans Decapitated, reflected on the fact that all 4 members of his band were accused by a woman of gang raping her after a concert in 2017 in Spokane, Washington. In January of 2018, rape and kidnapping charges against the musicians were dropped by prosecutors in Washington State. At the time, the prosecutors filed a motion in Spokane County Superior Court dismissing the charges, citing only the well-being of the victim as the reason. Looking back on the experience, Vogue said, as transcribed by Blabbermouth.net, "It really was a painful process and really traumatic. It's hard to imagine, if you're not in this kind of situation, how it was, how it is in reality. If you're suddenly going for something which is such a scary thing, because it was such a scary thing. The worst thing is you're facing these kind of charges that are crushing your whole career and your personal life, he continued. That's the one side. The other side is you're facing the loss of your longtime freedom if something goes wrong. It's so abstract that being in a big courtroom in front of all those people, seeing for the first time in your life judges and prosecutors and facing this, and the people, they're talking some things about you that you didn't do, and they try to put you in prison like the worst people on the planet. And you say to yourself, like, where am I? Where I actually am? Or where am I? Is this some kind of dream right now? Or is this real things going on? It was a really irrational experience. And then all these days in jail and all those months later. Yeah. It's very traumatic and really just unbelievable, Vogue added. But you have to know right now that we all feel way better during this. Because it was already a few years ago, and we've been working hard to go out from this in every possible way. So right now we have a new album, we have stability in our families, and we start to actually forget about that experience. We take our lesson. We're trying to just go forward without any mistakes, to just do good decisions in life, and it looks like everything is going in the right direction. It said, the drummer, the singer, and the bassist were scheduled to begin trial in January of 2018 in Spokane County Superior Court, but 11 days before the trial date, a Spokane County deputy prosecutor filed a motion dropping all rape and kidnapping charges without prejudice, meaning the four men could be prosecuted in the future. Asked by Scars and Guitars if that means that the entire case is now legally behind him and his decapitated bandmates, Vogue said, yes, that's for sure. The thing is that I don't want to explain what this is about because I need to touch some things and talk about some people and about some procedures that we decided to not touch in this topic. But it's just like a classic U.S. procedure about cases like that. I don't want to talk much, he continued, because I could explain that, but I don't want to deal with the monster. I don't want to wake up the monster that is all behind us. All the charges are dropped. Imagine if we were in a U.S. jail and we're four guys who really did it. Do you really believe they would let us go like that? I don't think so. So that's it. I could go with that, but the interview shouldn't be about the law case in the U.S. Oh, this interview. He said that interview shouldn't be. The woman alleged she was gang raped by the musicians in their tour bus bathroom after decapitated its August 31st, 2017 concert with Die Artist Murder at the Penn Concert Venue in downtown Spokane as part of the two bands' double homicide tour. The woman said she entered the bus for drinks with the band before each member forced themselves on her. Deputies later stated the victim had significant bruising to her upper arms consistent with being restrained and small abrasions on her knuckles that were scabbed over. But decapitated attorneys consistently argued their client's innocence, with Vogue's attorney telling Spokesman Review that police officers may have been misinformed on what happens at metal shows that could explain the woman's bruising. Andy Marsh, member of Die Artist Murder, provided testimony for the defense, saying he saw the woman violently dancing in the mosh pit in front of the stage. She was smashing her hands, arms, and body against the metal barricade between the audience and the stage. Wow! She was nuts, he said in the court documents. All four members of Decapitated were arrested on September 9th of 2017 in Santa Ana, California after performing at the observatory. They were held in Los Angeles County Jail before being extracted to Spokane. The musicians were released from jail as they awaited trial. As part of their release conditions, they were ordered to stay in Washington and required to turn in their passports. In the event that they did return to Poland, they were ordered to sign waivers of extradition, meaning that they were agreed to be extradited to the U.S. The decapitated members were released of their own reconnaissance and did not have to post a bond. Their trial was scheduled to begin on January 16th of 2018. Decapitated will release its eighth studio album, Cancer Culture, on May 27th via Nuclear Blast Records. So there you go, guys. Very interesting. Unfortunately, women lie. And that's what happens to guys when women lie. Okay. So. We're going to do a... Let's see. Do we have a funny article? I don't know if we have a funny article. Yeah, we do have a funny article. We'll do a funny article and then we'll go on and we'll cover some more stuff next time. But let's do the funny article. This is a good one. I laughed pretty much at this one. Report. This is from Hard Drive. PS3 box okay to throw out. Your house. A new report commissioned by Sony states that the PS3 box you've had in your closet since 2007, right next to that hoodie you no longer wear, is okay to throw out. The PS3 console, as well as the box it came in, was not intended to last more than 3 years before being traded in or thrown out, stated Sony CEO Kenichiro Yoshida. Now we have more PS3 boxes on the streets than ever before. In the coming months, we begin rolling out our buyback program to ensure every PS3 box is destroyed. There's no reason to hold on to the past like that. The fans need to move on. Gamers worldwide have preserved their PS3 boxes for a myriad of reasons, including maintaining potential release, resale value, collecting user manuals and wires, propping open doors, squishing bugs, or having something to give your weird cousin when you forget his birthday. The box is a piece of history, reported one gamer, Cedric Holmes, who refuses to throw away his PS3 box. The box has been such a big part of my life for over a decade. It has been a constant reminder of better times, times you could play Tony Hawk's Project 8 all night long and when my parents were still married. Ouch. The current resale value of a working PS3 hovers around $100. Wow. With the original packaging, two controllers, and half a dozen games, that amounts to it skyrockets to 110. The true value of a video game console lies not in the original packaging, but in the product's working condition, said Regina Nash, an antiques roadshow appraiser who specializes in electronics. I can promise any gamer out there who might be hesitant about throwing away their PS3 in box, in no way would the resale value be diminished. Nash, who is also a gamer, revealed that she too has kept her PS3 box in temperature-regulated storage all these years. I didn't spend $600 on this box just to throw it away 14 years later. So you can throw away your PS3 box, unless you don't want to. If you still got it in the closet, you can throw it away. It's perfectly fine, folks. Life will go on. It's all good. So I'm going to go read the chats and then we'll be done. Let's see if there's anything in the chats. Yeah, DP's asleep, so I've got to wake him up though for being a dick, but we're going to do this. It's Spokane. Oh, shit. Spokane, Washington. Sorry, folks. I thought it was Spokane, but no, it's Spokane, Washington. So, all right, anybody living in Washington, we got it wrong. We pronounced your state. Nah, not the state. Capital. I don't know. Is the capital of what? No. I don't know. I'm half asleep. Anyway, yeah. Just wanted to correct you before the Washington State viewers do. All right. Well, thank you so much for that. All right, folks. Well, DP's already asleep. But we've got more shit to do. So we will see you guys next time on the Grim Articles Show. And hopefully DP and I will be fucking more awake. And we can go ahead and really hammer down these articles, because we're going to be even more behind. So at any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and I am out of here. I'll see you next time on Grimm's Hentai Corner. Not Hentai Corner. That shows how goddamn tired I am. On the Grim Articles Show. Later. Enjoy the decline and what's on the menu.